Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy 2 windows, get 2 free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Kyle Van Noy was on NFL Network, the Insiders, last night, talking about various subjects relating to him and to the Ravens. A water diet. We'll get into as much as we can. But Kyle Van Noy's been around the NFL for a few years. Looked like a guy that may have been done just 2 years ago, and the Ravens brought him in. As he was sitting on the couch, 34 years old, was drafted back in 2014. Put it in perspective, C.J. Mosley just retired from that draft class. And there are others who were drafted that year long. Been out of the NFL, but he's still sticking around. And here's Kyle Van Noy talking about his career and what he has learned from each team through each phase.
You hear about all the stories of the guys that have played for one team their whole career, but there's a couple of us that have bounced around and have had success. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, and I've been able to help out so many young players. You know, one guy that I'm super proud about, he just got an extension this offseason, is Andrew Van Ginkle. Was able to hang with him at the Pro Bowl this year. My first time and his first time, and both of us experienced, and that being kind of my young guy in the league and seeing the success that he's had in Minnesota. Another guy who ended up getting a huge contract was Christian Wilkins. You know, super proud of what he's done in the league at the D tackle position, and then growing with guys on my own team, you know, Nnamdi Madubuike, Adafe Owe.
Was that the end of it? Okay. I think the thing with Van Noy is when I see him at practice, he helps guys. I mean, you see him in the drills, and he's helping. He is super smart. That's the thing about these veteran guys, and they're able to stay around a long time because they're super smart. We had a guy like that in – we had Chris Dolman, who was a super smart guy like that. Dole would always come in every day to practice. He'd have a briefcase. You know, I don't know what was in it, but Dole always had a briefcase. You know, and he hung around too because super smart. And that's the thing with Van Noy. How's he been able to survive so long? Because he's super smart. He knows how to counter any move that any of these tackles has. So if he gets one-on-one, you know, there's a good chance that eventually he's got a good chance to win a lot of those battles. And the other thing is he does a decent job against the run, and that keeps him around too, because he's just not zeroed in on, oh, he can only rush the passer. No, he can play every down. When Owe got benched basically in the run stuff in Buffalo, you know, for Tavius Robinson, Van Noy's still on the field because Van Noy can play all three downs. And a lot of it is he's extremely smart. He understands angles. He understands don't get hooked, you know, in the run game and all those things. And that's why he is able to survive. And that's why he's had double-digit sacks the last 2 years. And he knows how to take care of his body.
His previous high in sacks, Kyle Van Noy, before he joined the Ravens, was 6.5 with New England back in 2019. 2023 had 9 for the Ravens. Last year, 12.5. Remember, he was Defensive Player of the Year, the month of September. Kyle Van Noy on NFL Network talks about what has led to the increase in sack totals, 21.5 in 2 years in Baltimore.
And that's not what I feel like I've been able to do. I've been able to focus on one job. I used to do a lot of things in Detroit and then in New England. I was playing here, I was playing there, still making plays. And then with the Ravens, I've been able to just focus on one job, that's getting after the passer. I've been doing it. I feel like I've been one of the best in the NFL at doing so the last two seasons. And, you know, I just want to continue to shine and continue to make game-changing plays and continue to get back into the playoffs and get to that last game. That's our team goal that we want to do. But for me, I'm just going to continue to try to be a game changer. It doesn't matter. I don't worry about the age. I know teams, you know, worry about that. I don't. It's something that I've kind of swatted away the last two seasons. I'm 21 at heart. As Stacy said, I'm a ball of energy. I still got plenty.
Yeah, and the thing about it is numbers kind of say that, you know, I mean, because going into this past season, we said, well, can he do that again? Probably not. You know, if he got us 8, that would be a good year. You know, he's getting older, you know, and he got, what, 12 and a half? And I would imagine that his win rate is probably fairly decent because with his hand, he just keeps them moving. What he does is his feet and hands never stop. So he's always in constant motion, rushing the passer, so he's never out of the play. You know, like on those boots and some of those that he gets at, he can read everything. That's the thing about him. I mean, we had Gary Plummer, who was a linebacker in San Fran. Gary was an older guy, kind of like Van Noy. But, I mean, you've seen so many things, and you can read that tackle. You can read the tight end. You can read all those things. So he knows what the guy's going to do, you know, and he knows that, you know, he's not a quick setter in the pass. I can beat him to the outside, or no, this guy jumps outside right away. Boom, I got to spin back inside. You know, so he understands all that stuff.
88-81-057, the Fan, news from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Ravens added some new pieces to this defense. They're expected to be one of the best in the National Football League. Here's Kyle Van Noy talking about those pieces fitting into the puzzle.
You know, you said it right, fit in, because we already have what we have. We're not starting from ground zero. We're starting from where we've been, where we finished last year, and we're going to build on that. I think the chip on the shoulder from everybody on the defensive side of the ball wasn't up to our standards, and it wasn't up to, you know, my standards either as a player. Personally, I could always get better and continue to be a better mentor, be a better player when I'm on the field. You know, they're going to have to fit in with what we got going on, because what Zach Orr is trying to do and the places he's trying to go is to the top.
And really, you know, when you look at it, who are the guys trying to fit in? It's Mike Green as a pass rusher. It's Alexander and Malachi Starks. That's about it, really. You know, and Malachi, that's not going to be an issue with him. Mike Green, you know, the two rookies, I think they'll be fine fitting in. Jair Alexander, I don't know what his personality type. I know he likes to talk a lot. So, you know, and I'm guessing that he'll fit in. If not, he'll learn pretty quickly what it takes to fit in, because like we hear Van Noy, there's only one thing. I mean, Bob, we talk about a Super Bowl or bust. They're saying the same thing. They know what the score is. I mean, they know if they don't get to the Super Bowl, you know, it's a bad season.
It's 88-81-057 the Fed. When we come back, let's count some dough, hopefully, with buy or sell. Talk about sports objects of this Turn It Up Tuesday. Matt Weirich, talk Orioles with him from the Baltimore Sun. Birds win handily last night. Trevor Rogers, outstanding. Can he keep it rolling? Can the Orioles keep it rolling? Hey, another 6-game winning streak would be nice heading into the All-Star break. Charlie Morton, you're on the clock coming up at 6:35. Speaking of tonight's game, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, live from Pickles Pub. Me, Jim Hunter, Nolan McGraw. Come on down. We're brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Getting you ready for game 2. It's going to be hot. Dress appropriately. Come on down and find us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We'll be there.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. You want it loud, send your song request, Plaza Board text line at 410-583-1057. Talking Orioles, Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun, bottom of the hour. Orioles and Rangers game two, 6:35 tonight down in the heat at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But before we get to the sports, let's count some dough. As a matter of fact, let's turn up the money by ourselves.
We are making money today, Bob. It's a lot of green on my phone today. The Dow is up 434. The S&P's up 60. The NASDAQ is up 270. DraftKings is up 94 cents to 42.40. The only red on my phone's Under Armour. They're down a nickel, 646.
Our sports topics will start today with a piece here provided by a friend of the show, Jeff Chedia for NFL.com. Has some bold predictions here as we hit the bold prediction time of year in the offseason. He's got a stat line projection for Caleb Williams in his second season with the Bears. He says Williams will go for 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns. Now, that would not just be a big jump for Williams in year two, but it would break Chicago's longstanding drought of never having a 4,000-yard passer. Chedia is buying into the Ben Johnson factor at coach and the better O-line in front of Williams. Vinny, are you buying or selling? He reaches those milestones after posting 3,500 yards and 20 touchdowns as a rookie.
No, I'd take the 45-35 for Lamar. I think that would be good. I think there's no way that Caleb Williams gets that. I don't think there's any way. I mean, are they going to be better? Yes. But those kind of numbers, I mean, he'd be up for the MVP.
Yeah, 20-6 last year, which in theory isn't a bad touchdown interception ratio for a rookie, but he was 1-1, as we talked about earlier. So we'll see. Ben Johnson, get her done.
Now, I mean, could those stats end up being kind of like Matthew Stafford with the Lions numbers, where he's throwing for a billion yards and touchdowns, but it's because they're playing from behind? I don't know. Probably still a long
shot. That's a lot of yards.
Well, that means Roma Duse had a pretty bust-out second year, too.
Yeah, and then they took the tight end, too. You know, yeah, and the running. Yeah, that's high expectation. I mean, that's a top-five offense then.
Go over to the NBA here. Free agency right around the corner. The Celtics, a lot of roster turnover is expected. They've already got a jump on that by trading Drew Holiday. Still need to clear up some more money, and Kristaps Porzingis, his name is at the top of the list of easy players to move on from. Just 1 year remaining on his current contract, a $30 million price tag, but to get those savings that they're seeking, they'll need to dump him through a trade. Could be easier said than done, because you're kind of wondering, is anyone going to bite on Porzingis? You know, the injury history, the mysterious illness that held him out of the playoffs. Not a lot of good for him recently. Just don't know what you're getting. But maybe a bad rebuilding team could take on his contract if they're willing to fork over a decent pick or two being thrown in. Buy or sell, Bob, Boston will end up stuck with Porzingis for what already appears to be a lost 25-26 season.
Yeah, I'll buy it. And you mentioned a lost season. A Holiday goes to Portland. You mentioned that in your update there for Simons, who shoots a ton of threes, which I guess is what they're going to want in Boston. But Jason Tatum, I mean, Achilles, he's going to be out for the majority of the, certainly going to miss the rest of 25, the calendar year, into 26. And it goes into this dynasty stuff, as we talked about yesterday with Sean Devaney. But, hey, don't you count your dynasties just yet with OKC. A little more youth, I think, on the Thunder side. But to answer your question, the zinger, going to be a zinger for Boston.
It's been almost 6 years since Michael Thomas set the NFL record for receptions in a season. That was 149 back in 2019. The league has since expanded its schedule to an extra game and become more pass happy, but no one has broken that mark. Cooper Kupp came very, very close in his exceptional 2021 season. He hauled in 145. CeeDee Lamb came pretty close as well in 2023 with 135. Now, with George Pickens as a running mate, Dak Prescott back and healthy, Lamb should be in line for a big year, but just how big? Buy or sell, Vinny, Lamb will break the single-season reception record in 2025.
Sell it. sell it. The only way, you know, a guy gets that many is you're the guy. You're the only guy. You know, like, so he's got other people. I don't think it happens. And I think that the way teams are looking at it now, I mean, just to have one is not enough. I mean, look at what the Bengals did. They paid two. Big money.
Well, they did trade for Pickens. You think he'd be cool with watching CeeDee Lamb set the receptions
no.
record as he's standing there watching it all go the other way?
He might be kind of cool through the game.
Yeah, right, if he had 140 and
he might have Antonio Brown peace out. He's taking jersey off and leave.
No doubt.
I heard he left the country, by the way. So he double pieced out.
Who, Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, he's hiding.
He's
got
wanted
a murder charge?
Yeah, so he leaped. let's see. A little from the NBA here. Back to the NBA. I guess there's nothing more nauseating than legacy talk in sports, especially the NBA. But one player who's always had legacy attached to his name is Kevin Durant. And maybe for good reason, because of all the traveling he's done in his career. Produced a few titles in that time, but since they came with the Warriors, he'll never shake the criticism that came along with latching onto an already championship roster. He has since tried to create his own championship teams, building super teams that he was the centerpiece of in Brooklyn and Phoenix. Both failed miserably. Now on to Houston, where he instantly becomes the top player on a young squad. Also stays in a very competitive Western Conference, where a path to the finals would be extremely tough. I'm building this all up to say, are you buying or selling that a title with the Rockets would actually change people's perception of KD at this point in his career?
Yeah, if he stays healthy and he's the main contributor or one of them to said title. By the way, I just saw another mock draft that has Derek Queen going 10 to Houston, by the by. But look, Kevin Durant's one of the great scorers to ever play this game. Was a great scorer in high school, was a great scorer in his 1 year for Rick Barnes at Texas, and has done it at the NBA level. I think which rubbed people the wrong way about the Golden State jumping on the bandwagon, because when he was at OKC, remember, they blew a 3-1 lead against the Warriors in that Western Conference Finals, and Golden State beat them, and then he goes, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And then he was Finals MVP, and he could have gone back to Golden State at the trade deadline last year, but he declined that opportunity. He wins in Houston, then yes. I think his perception is kind of a grumpy, thin skin, gets into these social media pissing contests with people that he doesn't even know. His legacy is secure as a Hall of Famer, but hey, he wins in Houston, why not? Gets him over the hump, and he knows Udoka from their days in Brooklyn, so yeah, go ahead, bring it on.
I saw he went on a social media tirade recently, although I guess that's a 24/7 tirade for him. He's never off social media, but somehow the topic of the NFL came up. He said Ray Lewis was the greatest middle linebacker of all time. So we like him for that.
Anything wrong with that?
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, we like him for that.
I mean, you can make arguments for others. I mean, there's no definitive answer to it, but you know, he's a Washington football fan. He's from PG County. Yeah. He used to wear his socks high because of Walt Williams back in the day. But saying Ray Lewis is the greatest middle linebacker of all time, I mean, what's wrong with that?
That's what I'm saying. He's endearing himself. He's not all bad.
But it's not like he's picking some scrub.
No.
He's picking a guy that would be worthy of said consideration. Well, we come back. We'll talk some Orioles with Matt Weirich. Birds win last night, 6-0. Trevor Rogers, outstanding. Jackson Holliday bringing the bat to the party, possibly taking his bat and glove to the All-Star game in Atlanta. So we'll talk to Matt about that. NFL lunch coming up, 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. What happened in the division last night and what's going on today. And then Miles Simmons from ProFootballTalk.com. Get his thoughts on the balance of power. We know the AFC's kind of top-heavy, but who's that team that could sneak in and surprise us all?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
exercise this one many times. Window Nation guest hotline from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show, Matt Weirich. Matt, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. And hey, look, Trevor Rogers going 8-3, no runs, no walks, multiple Ks. That wasn't on the old bingo card for a hot Monday in Baltimore, I guess, for a lot of people, was it?
No, certainly his emergence has been really surprising and really a revelation for this rotation. You know, two of his past three starts now really being impressive and maybe the two best starts by an Orioles pitcher this year. It's been a complete turnaround from what we saw from him in the second half last season when he made four starts and got sent down to AAA. And, you know, they had him go to work on a lot of different things, some tweaks to his mechanics, changes in pitch mix, and he's unlocked this velocity that he hasn't seen in 2 years. His changeup looked absolutely filthy yesterday. The slider was a point of emphasis for him when he went down to AAA, and it got a couple of whiffs last night in limited usage. So he seems to be tinkering with a lot of different things, and we're seeing some positive results.
Yeah, best start certainly at home as an Oriole in a small sample size. He's controllable, Matt, as you know. Elias took a lot of heat, especially with Stowers was player of the month in the National League for the Marlins. Norby contributes to the cause there. But, you know, with unlocking hopefully what we saw in 2021, controllable guy, how do we view him? Let's not get carried away, but how do we view him not just for whatever run the Orioles might have in him to sneak into the postseason, but for the next couple of years as they're trying to figure out rotation pieces with three of their guys free agents after the season?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. They're losing a lot of guys potentially to free agency. Zach Eflin and Tomoyuki Sugano, Charlie Morton, all pending free agents after this year. Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish, Tyler Wells, all guys with injury question marks. You know, hopefully we'll see them down the stretch this year, and maybe we can count on them to be in the rotation next season. But, you know, we thought the same of Grayson coming into this year, and it's, you know, late June, and we still haven't seen him. So guys with injury tags are always going to have question marks, and you need players you can depend on if you're going to bounce back from, you know, whatever this season turns out to be. And Trevor Rogers, while certainly it's still a small sample size, and he's going to have to continue to prove himself down the stretch here, being a left-hander in a rotation with very few of them, he has a chance here to carve out the niche and carve out a significant role as somebody who can be penciled into the rotation next year. So, you know, Stowers and Norby might have made the trade look pretty bad early on, but, you know, Stowers has struggled a lot lately, only one home run in his past 5 weeks, I believe it is. You know, Connor Norby, you're not exactly tearing the cover off the ball, and they're two guys who really didn't have long-term homes in this Orioles lineup. So, you know, maybe expendable and maybe – you know, to give up those two guys, you would have liked to get more of a sure thing, but we're starting to see, you know, what Trevor Rogers can look like once the Orioles go to work with him, and so far the results are pretty good.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles here on 105.7 The Fan, Birds and Rangers game two of this three-game set coming up tonight, 6:35. Now, Jackson Holliday, we played the cut from Tony Manzolino in 2 years, according to my math, that's 27, because this is 25. Yeah. Five best players in baseball, to get him to be that guy. A year ago, he was on the Norfolk Shuttle, and he was brought up way too early, blah, blah, blah. Now here's a guy with a realistic chance to start the All-Star game and might make it on merit alone. But you talk about tweaking, Matt, as we look at one thing. Is there one thing we can look back at with Jackson Holliday as why he looks like a guy that belongs in the majors as opposed to a guy a year ago who was maybe rushed up a little bit sooner than he should have been?
Yeah, you know, I think honestly the biggest thing is his ability to hit fastball. Somebody who really struggled to catch up to the velocity when he got up to the majors last year. And, you know, being one of the youngest players in baseball, I believe he's the youngest position player at the MLB level right now. You know, it was always going to be an adjustment period. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, while maybe it was aggressive for the Orioles to bring him up when he did, you know, he had proven at the AAA level that he was ready. He had proven at the spring training level that he was ready to come up to the major leagues. There really was nothing left for him to do. You know, obviously there were struggles against left-handers and maybe some higher strikeout rates than you'd like to see. But, you know, when he was making contact with the ball, it was doing good things. And I think it was a very projectable profile. So, you know, they brought him up, he struggled, and they had to send him back down. And, you know, that's the way it goes for a lot of, you know, young top prospects. Roman Anthony with the Red Sox isn't exactly going crazy in his first taste of the big leagues. Nick Kurtz went up with the Athletics earlier this year and struggled before started to settle in. So, you know, I think it's something that you expect from a lot of players around this age, particularly ones who went from the high school ranks right into pro ball, didn't really get to see, you know, SEC pitching or things like that. So there was an adjustment period, but he's really started to show that he belongs. And certainly, you know, the Orioles coaching staff, Tony Mancino at the front of it, showing a lot of confidence in him.
Now, speaking of adjusting to the next level here, Coby Mayo, still waiting for the first homer. And maybe Lats will serve it up to him tonight down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But at first base, out of necessity, I mean, trying to find a home for him, whatever it is, Matt, he made a couple of nifty plays last night with a scoop. Seems to be a little more athletic around the bag than maybe we anticipated he would be. Is this going to be his home permanently in this organization? Mountcastle's on the 60-day IL. O'Hearn's a free agent after the season. Maybe he gets traded if the Orioles totally tank. But Coby Mayo, is he going to have to get to know and love and become really good at playing first base right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely the most obvious position for him, given that, you know, Jordan Westberg's entrenched at third base, Jackson Holliday at second, and Gunnar Henderson at short. You know, barring any long-term injuries for those guys, there's just not going to be an opportunity to play on an everyday basis. It's not like they're going to start platooning Gunnar, and certainly they seem to be moving away from that with Jackson Holliday. So there really isn't a whole lot of opportunity for him on the left side of the diamond. And while Ryan Mountcastle is still under contract for next year, he obviously hasn't hit for really a year and a half now at a consistent level, and, you know, potentially could be on the trade block this offseason. He's certainly been in the rumor mill here for the past year or so. And you know, Coby Mayo, you know, while third base is the position he's been trying to stick at, you know, he came up as a shortstop, and that was because of his athleticism. When he was drafted, he was listed as a shortstop. That's what he played in high school. And it's because, despite his large frame, you know, he does have a lot of good fluid movements to the ball. It really just didn't seem to come together for him once the speed started to pick up at the pro ball level, and that's why we're starting to see him at first base. But he still does have that athleticism that I think could help him adjust to this position well. You know, we saw it with Ryan Mountcastle, a guy, you know, who came up in the outfield, had to play first base, but given his athleticism there, settled into a Gold Glove caliber player. And not to say that that's what's going to happen with Mayo, but, you know, I got to give him a lot of credit. I see him out there every single day pregame working with John Mabry, Buck Britton, Tony Mancino, working on his footwork, his picking, his arm at slot, coming out of first base, turning double plays. You know, I wouldn't say he's a finished product by any means right now, but he is certainly putting in the work to try to get there.
Hey, Matt, with 85 games left, for the O's to get to 86, they have to go 52-33 the rest of the way. How confident are you in that?
Man, it's tough. You know, honestly, I think it's going to depend where they're at in about 5.5 weeks at the trade deadline, because are they still going to have a lot of the guys that are on this team now, you know, for that last month of the season? You know, is Ryan O'Hearn still going to be here? Cedric Mullins, Zach Eflin, Tomoyuki Sugano. You know, the Orioles are going to have to make a decision by July 31st on whether or not to keep this gang together. And with the way that, you know, some of these guys might not return on free agent deals, things like that, and the guys that you have coming back from injury, the prospects that you have coming up, you know, do they fit on this team long term? You know, I think there's some cases to be made to potentially trade those guys. So really, it's going to depend on where they are then. And honestly, you know, being 10 games under 500, it's not pretty. But I'm not really looking at the record necessarily, but how many teams and how many games away they are from that third wild card spot. Because as well as they played, you know, over the past few weeks, they haven't passed anybody in the standings. The only two teams still behind them in the American League are the White Sox and the Athletics. So they need to start leapfrogging a couple of teams. They're three games back of the Twins. It's the next closest team there in the standings, if they're going to convince this front office not to sell.
Matt, I know Manzo real quick talked about Jordan Westberg, lefty tonight. I know Lats is more of a bullpen guy, but he pitched 5 innings his last outing. If Jordan Westberg's not starting tonight, what does this mean maybe for a possible IL stint?
It doesn't look like he's going to be headed to the IL. It certainly seems like he's avoided any major injury there, just a sprain on that finger. So Mancino said that today was a possibility for a return, but mentioned tomorrow as well. So he might just need one more day. He was not available off the bench last night, but it does seem like an IL stint has been avoided to this point.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun. Matt, always appreciate the time. Have fun in the heat tonight down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There's Matt Weirich. We'll come back, reset the program for you. If you're on the phones, we'll get you when we come back at 410-583-1057. NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Going to hear more from Kyle Van Noy and Rashad Bateman. American League East report at 115. Look at last night's scores. Look at today's schedule, updated standings. And then Miles Simmons for ProFootballTalk.com. Talk about the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers, he's a big fancy name. And we're always going to be talking about him because, you know, he insists himself upon us. Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com, talks about NFL with him, of course, less than a month away from training camp, where we get out to the phones at 410-583-1057. Ravens training camp starts 23rd, and it looks like you can go to their website, BaltimoreRavens.com, and check it out. A lot of 1:30, 2 o'clock practice times for camp 2025.
It'll be hot. Going to be hot. That means we're out of there at 4:35. So that's an hour drive home, guaranteed. But that's what Harbs wants. It's what Harbs gets.
Now we start to evaluate. You'll be there a lot, of course, Vinny, evaluating the team. We know what they're capable of. And we'll get into the big questions surrounding the team and stocks rising, falling, and all the fun stuff that goes with it. Number one thing, injuries.
Oh, no doubt.
Lack thereof.
I think the biggest, you know, like, we'll see. I think, Bob, it's like August the 5th for the Colts practice. That'll be big. You know, we'll see who makes a jump and, you know, is there a young guy or is there a guy that, you know, we're not counting on being that guy? He makes a jump in that practice. Like, whoa, okay. And then the Washington one will be another one, too. Is that a week later or 2 weeks later? It's right before their preseason game. So those 2 days, and then whenever the pads come on, you know, when they're out there in shorts, I think the first 3 days are shorts, which basically it's OTA practices. And once we get the pads on, and then after that, when you got to go shorts, it's like kind of half speed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the pads practices are the key practice. That's where O-line, D-line, you know, I mean, that's where we see. That's who's going to make a jump. That's when we're going to be able to tell about Peebles, you know, undersized defensive tackle. Can he handle with the quickness and stuff? The pass rushers, one-on-one. The O-line, who's stepping up? Because right now, without pads on, it's hard to say. But when we put the pads on, that's where we're going to find where the depth is and how Voorhees is.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, thanks for holding. How you feeling? Turning up Tuesday.
I'm feeling good, man. I'm listening to you smart guys talk. So I said, well, let me get on a smart conversation with you. As you was talking about the Van Noy dude, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I'm smart enough to see to myself, this guy maybe one day could be, don't know if he would like to be, a positions coach. And I'm really just going by what Vinny was saying about watching him giving illustrations to the other guys on the line, giving them techniques that they may not know about. To me, that's a sign of a good teacher. So I'm saying now, is anybody else seeing that? And who knows if he even has the desire to maybe want to be a positions coach after he retires. Then I'm thinking, like, you know, everybody can't teach. Even some of the best players in football try to become head coaches, tried even to become position coaches, but everybody can't teach because, first of all, you got to know how to evaluate a person or be a good evaluator because everybody don't learn the same. Some people don't know that. Some people can learn just from reading. Some people learn from sight. And some people, you have to walk them through it step by step. So, you know, some people don't need – I mean, I can just give you a list of things to do, Bob, and you'll go do them all, but you'll read and go out and understand. See, that's you gotta be a good evaluator of those. So to me, that's what makes a good teacher and a good coach. That's all I call to say, man, you know, talk about this guy. So, you know, the Ravens can always use good coaches and good position coaches because just like we talked about, Zach always hung out to dry last year because nobody could coach.
Hey, thanks,
Joe. Take it easy, y'all.
All right, man. Yeah, Van Noy has 3 sacks. We'll be talking about him in a much more different light here in 2025. But if we want to talk about him, Kyle Van Noy, post-playing career, he's got media written all over it.
Oh, no doubt. And I think he realized,
why in the world would he want to coach when he can make a ton more being in a pregame show or a game analyst? Kyle Van Noy's got media written all over him.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, like really good players that become coaches. How about Chuck Smith? You know, I mean, he was a hell of a player for the Falcons and stuff. You know, and he's doing a phenomenal job coaching. So,
but it seems to be a rarity that happens.
Yeah, you know why? With the elite guys, Bob, is, well, number one, they're making enough money and they know the hours that you got to put in and they don't want to do that anymore. And then a lot of times with the better players, come so easy to them that they can't understand the guy that, you know, why do you got to do it so many times? Here's how you do it. Just do it this way. You know, I mean, I think it's difficult for them to understand that.
Nolan, what do you got over there, man?
In regards to what? A cough?
You want to go to the funhouse or you want to go to the top of the hour?
It was already 55. Yeah. I don't want to shortchange the people.
I don't want to shortchange you. We know how testy Nolan can get. Aaron Rodgers is in the news, and it's actually breaking news that has happened over the last few minutes. And we're going to hear from Kyle Van Noy talking about Aaron Rodgers as their paths have crossed in the NFL. They're going to cross paths twice this year. Who knows? Maybe three times as Aaron Rodgers got it like that with the Steelers. NFL Lunch next. American League East report at 1:15. And then Miles Simmons, ProFootballTalk.com. We know the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, in no particular order, three best in the AFC. Who's next? Who's number four? Everybody's on that Bengal jock. Is that appropriate?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.